Amen. It's good to see this number on Wednesday night. So thankful to see each of you here. We do have a business conference tonight. I don't think it'll take too much time, but I'll try to be mindful of that time of the service and this time of the service also. I'm just, again, just excited how the Lord has been moving and kind of putting things together. This actually kind of goes right along with what we've been preaching along on Wednesday nights, and fully intended to preach on Sunday, but the Lord saw it different, I guess, and that's absolutely fine, because I'd rather see a message than hear one. You see it play out. You know, the goal when you preach a message, when a preacher preaches a message, I think the goal is to reach the hearer to take that and use that for the betterment of what, for their life, for their Christian life. I think that's what it's about. You know, it's never about drawing people to the preacher. It's about drawing people to Christ. It's about pointing everyone to Him. It's easy sometimes maybe to get caught up in what I would call the entertainment of things or whatever. I've seen that before and all that, and theatrics and things like that. But that's not what it's about. It's all about Christ, Brother Allen. That's what it's all about. It's what it's always been about. And just thinking a lot, I guess, about worship, just different things that you hear throughout the week and just experience. And I see how the Lord gives Scripture. Sometimes it seems very apparent, and then sometimes it doesn't. And I've actually gotten to church and see that's exactly where the Lord wanted us to be and what have you. And I feel that way tonight about this. If you will, let's turn to Romans chapter number 14. I want to look at those first 12 verses tonight. And again, I'll try to get through it, but not rush through it, because I think the context is very important. I have worship on my mind. That's something that's kind of been on my mind. And this is probably some kind of different scripture maybe that you would use to bring that out. But I think it all comes together in the context of what we've been talking about, of, again, removing the high places and not putting our confidence in things that we shouldn't, but always refocusing and placing our confidence where it should be. And that's always in Christ. I have good friends and good brothers and sisters in Christ that I have confidence in, and I appreciate them, appreciate you with all my heart, but Christ is the goal. We should never lose sight of that. Never lose sight of that. You know, man can let us down and what have you and break our hearts and different things like that, but let me tell you, Jesus Christ will not do that. He's always the focal point. And thinking about worship, I just want to think about this. Have you ever... you ever thought about why you do or why you don't worship in church? Ever think about that? I mean, why do we come to church? It's not for shows and theatrics, Brother Tim. It's not for that. But church is a great place to worship God. Would you not agree? Amen. I mean, that's part of why we come here. It is fellowship with one another, but to worship God. That's what it's about. So I ask myself, you know, well, why? Why don't I worship God sometimes when I'm in church? You know, when I'm by myself, it's kind of different maybe in that I'm thinking about things and rolling things over in my mind. If I'm in my vehicle, maybe listening to preaching, Brother J.W. or something like that, or maybe listening to music and thinking about the Lord, it's like there's no pressure or anything like that. It's just me and Him, you know, kind of thing. Or, you know, you think, well, why is it different in church when you feel, there's times I feel the Spirit move and I don't. Why, Brother Finley? Why not? Why? Why don't I move? And I ask myself that question. Jason, why don't you move? It's not about looking at anybody else. You'll see that in the message tonight. It's not about looking at other people. It's always about looking inward. I think the number one reason why I don't worship the way that I should at times is because I feel unworthy of myself. There's times I was like, well, you know, maybe I'll say amen or something, or maybe I'll raise my hand or something. No, don't. Those people will think that you think you're something, and that's not the case. I'm not here to worship me. We're never here to worship the preacher. You know, again, I've said that before. I'm not talking about myself, but I know in times past, I think times, there have been times that people were worked up more about who was behind the pulpit than the context of what was being preached, and that's not good. It's not good. It's always about Christ. It's always about Him. We need to be excited about Him. So if it's not about the preacher, if it's not about your brothers and sisters, and it's not necessarily about you, then who's it about? It's about Jesus Christ. It's about Him. It's about worshiping Him. That's what it's all about. I mean, something that we should always be excited and mindful about. I think sometimes, again, I look at things here, I look at myself, and I think, well, you know, I don't want to draw attention to myself or anything like that, but we should always want to draw attention to Jesus Christ. That's what being a witness is. That's what I witnessed on Sunday. That's what I believe that we saw and observed on Sunday, were people just simply pointing other people to Jesus Christ. This is when and how I got saved. That's what being a witness is. It's that simple. But we see here, Paul is talking about other believers. It's talking about weak believers, or people that are weak in the faith. And people like this, what it's talking about, it's not being negative to them in any way, but it's just being truthful in that they are weak in what they believe. They don't know exactly what they believe sometimes. And what that means is they're caught up, Brother Bill, in religion. Religion is something else. You know, there's several people here that even testified on Sunday that they came from different church backgrounds. You think about somebody that did not grow up in a Baptist church, what we believe, a Christian home or something like that. Maybe they grew up in a different religion. I think what is going on in their mind is, well, what do I have to do to fit in with your church? Like, what do I have to do? What do I do in your church? What do you do? I hear Baptist, so I guess I probably need to be baptized. I guess that's part of it. But what are the other things that you do and you don't do in your church so I can fit in with your crowd, your congregation? And see, that's kind of what this is talking about here. It's in relationship to other believers, and it talks about not judging one another. And I think that is probably one of the most crucial things that we run into, if we realize it or not. If you saw brother or sister so-and-so doing something you didn't think they should be doing throughout the week, that's going to be on your mind when you come to church. And if you're not careful, you're going to be thinking about brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so more than what's going on in church. You see, there's some things that religion says that you can or you can't do that the Bible don't even touch. Do you know that? And if the Bible don't touch it, then that means it's man-made. And people sometimes will hold on to the man-made things more so than what God has said and taught in His Word, and then you're just off in left field somewhere. You're really not following what the Bible says, and that's always what we should do. Let's read this and get started tonight. It says here, Romans 14:1. It said, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye." Talking about a church, I guess also maybe a brotherhood, if you will, but I think primarily it's talking about a church. If someone comes into the church and they would like to worship with us, it's saying here, if they're in the faith, if they're Christian, it says, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." I'll just go ahead and stop there, and we'll pray, and we'll jump right into it tonight. Father, we thank You for this day that You've given to us, just such a beautiful day, and the weather, God, we just thank You for how it's been, Lord. I know You give us what we need if we realize it or not, but we thank You for those days, God, that feel comfortable to us, Lord, and just how you take care of us. And God, I pray that You help me to say everything right tonight. I've rolled this over in my head and my heart and excited about it, but God, I want You to bring it out the way that You would have it, God, that would help our church, edify our church. Always help us to grow, and always, God, point us to Your precious Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only reason why we're here, should be. If you really get down to the heart of the matter and think about it, God, and we think about those going through things in their lives tonight, God, and those that are not able to be here, Lord, we miss them, and God, we pray for them tonight. God, those that are lost in our church and around us, God, we pray for them. And ask God for Your protection around them and Your conviction upon their hearts, Lord. And with school starting and everything going on, our students, Lord, just getting settled back in and possibly new routines and getting back into those routines, God, we pray for them and we pray for our teachers and just everyone involved in our school systems, God. And we just pray that, Lord, that You help them and help it to be a safe and a good year, God, for our students. Lord, go with us tonight. Go with us in the business meeting, Lord, and we pray that Your will be done here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And talking about this here, it's saying receive these people, to embrace them and to bring them in and not look at them as something to be pushed away. I talked to Brandy about it. I said, you know, I was just trying to find a good analogy. I said, if you and I were doctors, what would our primarily our customers be? Our customers would be sick people. And it would be to the fact that I said, but Brandy, do you want anybody to be sick? No, no, we don't. But those who are sick or those who need help, we want to be there to help them. And you know, really, that truly is spiritually what the church is about, to help people. People who need help, and we all need help. And what it's talking about here is those who are weak in the faith, and you'll see in a couple of verses down what it's talking about specifically in context here. It's talking about those who held to certain dietary restrictions, those who observed certain days, and what it was, what they were doing in their heart, they felt like they were doing it for Christ. The reason behind what they were doing was good. It wasn't that they were trying to be against the Bible or anything like that, but you'll see where we're going with this here in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of that. But if you look up the definition of doubtful disputations, and what it's talking about is critical judgments on the inward reasons of others. It's looking at somebody and saying, I can't believe so-and-so does this because that's just ridiculous. That's not how it is. That's not how it's supposed to be. Or if somebody is saying, I can't believe they do this thing, and they think they're doing this for Christ, but that's just unreasonable. And what happens is people can get a critical nature toward people, a critical attitude. And a lot of times what I see, or the way I see that playing out, is people become looking like they're holier than thou, or other people thinking that those folks are, and they become what I see as being critical. And what this is specifically talking about is critical judgments on the inward reasoning of others on things that are not specifically mentioned in the Bible. So we can think up things very easily, and we can say, well, this is how it is, and if this person doesn't do this, and Brother Allen, they're not a true Christian. Not a true Christian like I am, because I don't do those things. That becomes being critical. You know, that's a very, very interesting thing, and I tried so hard to think of today situations or things maybe I experience, and I understand why. So I'm not going back. I'm not saying that sin is okay or anything like that, but sometimes people make up things that just aren't so. That's what the Pharisees did. That's one of the things that they were very good at. They'd say the law says this, but how much grander would it be if we made it like this? And they tried to add to it to make it harder. Silly thing about that is they themselves couldn't even uphold the law. So why were they going to try to make it harder? The law in and of itself is hard enough. It's unattainable. We can't attain that. We cannot overdo that. And so that's what they were doing. But now you think about it, I'm trying to think of good illustrations. I remember when I was growing up, and I'm not putting off on mom and dad. I know and understand why. I understand the why now, but as a young person might not. But just listen to the analogy. But how many of you, when you were growing up, you were not supposed to go to the movie theater? Few, amen, okay. Yeah, okay. I'm getting some nods. I'm trying to find some things. You say, well, I don't really hold to dietary restrictions. I don't really observe days except for the Lord's Day. So let's talk about where the rubber meets the road. When I grew up, you were not supposed to go to movie theaters. Not supposed to do that. You might not hear about that so much now, but really think about it. Okay, where in the Bible does it say, do not go to movie theaters? Where does it say that? Where's the, Brother Bill, you got the verse for that? Where did that come from? Where did that come from? Why don't we do that? There's got to be a verse for that. You think about explaining this to somebody who has never gone to a Baptist church, coming from a different religion or what have you. How do you explain that? I'm going to tell you, the first time I went to the movies, I was in high school. I think I was around a senior in high school. And, not bragging or anything like that, but it was Robin Hood. There was nothing bad in it. It wasn't a bad movie. I kind of knew what to expect. I'd read the book, seen the book, and it wasn't the rated R version or anything like that. It was, I guess, PG. It was Disney, which used to be okay back in the day. Maybe not so much anymore now. But I will tell you, when we went to the movies, me and my best friend, me and Aaron went, and we watched that. I was scared to death the whole time, JW. I was scared to death. I was like, something bad's going to happen. God's going to come back, and he's going to find me. The Lord's going to come back, and he's going to find me in this movie theater. And that's wrong. But the thing about it was, I wasn't convicted. Oh, well, maybe you need to be checking up. You sitting in a movie theater, and you ain't convicted? Something's wrong with you, brother. Something's wrong. Maybe you ain't saved. Well, I don't feel that way. So the Bible says, shun the very appearance of evil. Amen, it does. It does. And you know, here's the thing about it. I thought about that over and over. And yes, there probably were theaters, movies in theaters next door that were not fit to watch, but this was nothing more than what you'd see on TV. Nothing more. And so I thought about it, and thinking about my conviction on it, I'm like, well, I just didn't see anything wrong with this. I didn't. I wasn't convicted. Well, why is that? Well, it's not in here. The reality of it is, and especially in this day and time with the introduction of internet, that was pre-internet time. The thing about it is, what you watch on TV today in your home is way worse than that. So if you're going to shun the very appearance of evil, then you'll have to pretty much just turn your TV off probably altogether. I know some folks, and I'm not getting on anybody, I'm just talking about the reasoning behind what we do. I know folks today that they're okay with smoking, but they will absolutely not go to do a restaurant that serves alcohol. They'll stand on that, so I ain't going to be seen in there. And I'm like, okay, so you're saying it's okay to do this, but not okay to do this. Well, what's your reasoning? Well, say, give me a Bible verse. I can give you a Bible verse. The Bible, I can give you several Bible verses about what it says about drinking alcohol. I can give you several. I don't split hairs with that. I have no issues of saying it's wrong. I have no issues of standing against it. And I'll be honest with you, I have no wrong standing against alcohol, even outside of God's Word. I've seen the trouble that it causes. I have no issue with that. Well, I give you the verse on that. Well, what about the verse about smoking or what have you? Well, it talks about your body being in the temple, about taking care of your body. I don't think it's good to do anything that will hurt our bodies. Would you agree with that? See, I think we could go along with that. I think we could see the reasoning behind that. And it's saying here, we'll go on and read some more verses here. And it says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat of all things. He says you can eat of all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. He's saying it's okay. What God has made clean, you look at the book of Acts. He talks about it there. You remember with Peter, when he was going to go to Cornelius being a Gentile, he being a Jew, he said, we don't go unto the way of the Gentiles. We don't go to the Gentiles. They're dogs. So we don't take the gospel to them. Remember, we just take it to our house, our people. We don't deal with them. And what the Lord told him is, rise, kill, and eat. You remember the vision that he had three times, but he explained to him, what I have said is clean, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. That was his response to Peter. He said, no, you go to them too. You see, under the law, the way that he thought it was, he was wanting to boast in the law. That's what he held to. So that's what legalism is. See, we can become self-righteous and say, well, I don't go to the movie theater. Okay, amen. That's fine. If that's your conviction, that's fine. But what did you watch on TV last night that was worse than Robin Hood? That negates all of that. That tears all of that down. And see, it's easy for us to say, I don't do these things. That's what the young rich ruler did. That's what he said. Well, I've held all these things from my birth. I've held these things. Jesus said, sell everything you got and follow me. I can't do that. He wasn't willing to do that. The one thing that God asked him to do, he wasn't willing to do that. See, that's his thought process. It might be easy for us to say the things that we don't do, but if I asked you what you did for the Lord this week, what would you say? What would you say? I didn't do all these things that I feel are wrong, but what did you actually do for the Lord? What's the purity of your heart for the Lord? It says here in verse number 4, it says, who art thou to judgest another man's servant? You see what he's saying here? Paul is saying this other person is God's servant, is Christ's servant. It's talking about believers is what he's saying here. He's saying, who are you to judge another man's servant? He's not your servant. To his master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him to stand. You see, the reasoning behind what he did or didn't do was pure in his heart, but he wasn't judging somebody else. So I think if we come to church with a critical heart, that means to be inclined to find fault or judge with severity. If we come to church with that mentality, we're not going to worship. We're not. If I come to church with the mentality I'm mad, I'm upset, and I'm not going to worship, guess what? You're not going to worship. And guess what? A lot of other people aren't either. You're talking about quenching the spirit. It doesn't take much to do that. It takes very little to do that. I find in the Bible too what I believe to be the opposite of being critical, and that's to have compassion. Jude 22, it says, of some having compassion and making a difference. You really have to have compassion on somebody else to make a difference, but not being critical. I could bring hammers in here and 2x4s in here and hit people over the head, and I promise you that's not going to lead anybody to Christ. That's not how it works. This is not a convert or die faith. It's not. It's out of love. It's out of compassion. It's out of seeing what Christ did for us and why he did it. The why he did it. So you and I might be able to be in fellowship with him. But God is able to make him stand. God can help him. I think about John Mark. I think about him when he turned back. But how you had Barabbas who stood by him and helped him. God was able to help him to stand. And I tell you, that's what the type of people we need to be. Verse number 5, it says, one man esteemeth one day above another. He esteemeth every day. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he that giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. They both do the same thing in their heart. It doesn't matter what was on the plate or not, it's the reason behind what they were doing. But if you go back to verse number 5, it says here, being fully persuaded. Whatever it is that you're in, whatever it is that you're into, whatever you're doing, if you can't do it wholeheartedly, then what's the point of doing it? Why? You know, if you can't go to church full-heartedly, then like what's the point? What's the why? You know, you question about doing this or doing that and what have you. I mean, I know, I believe in putting your heart fully in whatever it is that you're going to do, whatever that is. And if you can't do that, you need to ask yourself, why? Is God in it? Is God leading to it, or is God leading against it? But you see the scenario here in verses 5 and 6. Both of these people were fully persuaded. To give a little bit more context on that, you may recall what Paul was talking about as far as the meat, the way that was, and the way it was set up. They would have sacrifices, and those meats would be taken down to the butcher, and then it would be prepared, and then it would be sold. You had some people that would grab it and take it, and I have no problem with that. You had some said, no, that was sacrificed to idols. I can't eat that. That's offensive to my God. And you say, I can see that. Brother Nathan, I can appreciate that. But you know what God said? God said, I don't even recognize those idols. Burning it to those idols is no more than burning it just to be burning it. Those idols are nothing to me. If you want to eat it, eat it. They just killed it. God doesn't honor that. God doesn't look at it that way. And what happened is some of these people in trying to honor God was actually not. They were called weaker in the faith or being weak in the faith. Look at verse 7 and 8 here. It says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth unto himself or to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or we die, we are the Lord's. I believe that is a true blessing with all my heart that God has given to us as Christians. Whether it be if we die, we go to be with him for eternity. If we live, we are to live unto him, is what he's saying. We're supposed to be more focused on him and his plan for our life than we're not focused on anything else. We're not losing sight of him, that he is the key thing. And for us not to lose sight of that. I see here in 1 Corinthians 6, 19, 20, I'll just read this to you. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? It's God given. And ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He's reminding us that we belong to him. Everything we do is supposed to be because of Him. Our fully being fully persuaded is supposed to be fully persuaded because of who God is. Not just because of our circumstance at the time. And I know that our attitudes, our personalities can rise and fall on those things, but God is the same. He's always worthy of our praise. He's always worthy of our worship. He's the only one that is worthy of that. And I believe we see this here. Regardless of what people were doing and how they were looking at these things, God is always worthy. Look at verse number 10 here, or verse number 9. It says, "To this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living." That is the gospel. That is what He died for. I want us to see and understand, the Lord didn't save us to take us into captivity of the law. He saved us because we couldn't live under the captivity of the law. He set us free. He paid the price, knowing that we couldn't do it, knowing our price would just be death and no rising again. You see, to me, I think that is the reason. You see the reason that is given. I think that is enough right there for us all to say amen and worship right there. Amen. That's the good part about it. We had no way of saving ourselves, taking care of ourselves, but that's what He did for us. It says, "To this end, for this reason, Christ both died, rose, and He revived." He revived so you and I could be revived. Man, I feel revived. I don't know. I do. I mean, I'm at a place in my life, I mean, really, I don't know how long I've got, but I'm really worrying less and less about what people think and worrying more and more about what my Savior thinks. I'll have a time if nobody else wants to. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. Amen. I'm happy about it. Amen. You know? I mean, it's okay. I know it's late at night. I got up and worked too, but I'm excited about this. He's saying, "To this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that He might be the Lord of both the dead and the living." That's us. And I get to go. Brother Tim, I get to go. I don't have to stay here. I might get to go before this election thing is over with. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll just go on with Him. What He says here, verse number 10, it says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother?" Why are you looking back and forth across the aisles? Why you judge your brother? I think a lot of that happens. I think a lot of times that's what's spent happening. I think sometimes people think that makes them feel better. Well, I don't do that. Why are you judging your brother? "Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Man, that's something to think about there. I think that's the importance of taking care of somebody else, taking care of your brother. Because if it's not you today, it'll be you tomorrow. We're all in this same thing together. We are. That's what He's saying here. You can't exalt yourself above your brother. You need to help your brother just like your brother needs to help you. Because we're all coming to the same end is what He's saying. We're all going to face the same end. If I knew that you and I both were getting ready to go in and see the principal, I think maybe we would have a little something in common, that maybe we would try to have a little bit of fellowship there and say, "Hey, maybe if we partner up and get along, maybe he won't go as hard on us," or something like that, you know. You pull a couple of kids apart that's been fighting and bickering, whatever. If they get along, boy, that's good. That's the end result I believe that God wants us to have. I think it's the way He wants it to be. I know this world is at enmity with Christ, but the church should be in unity with Christ. Amen. It's the way it's supposed to be. "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught? Why you go against your brother, your very own brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Well, I tell you, it's something that makes me really think about that. Look at verse number 11. It says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God." If we're so critical of one another, so hard on one another, when you're before Christ, I want you to think about this. It's just you. Your brother won't be sitting there beside you at that point. You ever think about just you and Jesus Himself? This is something that really came to my heart, because it's going to happen. It's not if that happens. There's the white throne judgment and there's the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody's going to face Him one way or the other. Everybody that has been created will get to see Jesus Christ. Everybody. You know, you can go back and you can go through the Bible and you can say, well, my goodness, what's Judas going to say? Because he's going to face him. You know, you say all these things. What's this one going to say? What are you going to say? You ever think about that? You know, you look at life. If I knew I was getting ready to meet some prominent person, I'd probably try to get my thoughts together. I want to say the right things. I don't want to come across whatever. I want to have my thoughts together. You ever thought, what are you going to say to Jesus Christ when you see him? You ever think about that? What that's going to look like, it says here, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. I would like to be able to face God with an open and a clean heart. Not judging my brother, not judging somebody else, not being critical of others and what have you. It's amazing what a religion has done to the church. It's amazing. People want to do things, but it's already been done. The Lord's done it for us. You know, I just want us to think about that. When it comes time to worship or think about the Lord, don't be stove up. Don't be shy. Just think about what he did for us. Verse number 12, it says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every single one of us. Every one of us is going to face him and give account to what we did, what we chose to do, what we didn't do. And you see here what this is talking about, again, the comparison of those that were weak in the faith, those who were looking at others as a lesser. It's easy to do that. It's easy to get pumped up in yourself and think this or think that, but that's just not the way God would have us to be. I tell you, it's important that we look at others and be there for them and try to help them any way that we can. Try to be, again, a mentor and show them who Christ is. It's always about pointing them to Christ. Always, always about pointing others to Jesus Christ. I'll stop there and not keep rambling on or anything like that. But before we start our business conference tonight, I think it would be good for us to have a time of prayer. And I'll ask Brother Dale, if you would, to lead us in prayer tonight.